listening to Utah's Morning News with Tim Hughes and Amanda Dixon
on KSL News Radio,
102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Good morning, KSL News Time, 5:30.
KSL's top story this hour.
The man police say is behind six intentional hit and runs on women is going to court today.
He faces multiple counts of attempted murder. KSL News Radio's Peter Johnston joins us live with a preview of today's hearing. Peter?
Amanda, suspect on FAM is facing charges that six different times from August until March, he targeted women that he saw crossing the street. Salt Lake City District Attorney Sim Gill says it took some time to figure the cases were tied.
And we started to piece it together because the information that was coming together identified the same vehicle.
Now, Gill also says there's evidence FAM went around the block multiple times in these incidents to identify the people who police accuse him of hitting. KSL.com reports that FAM was homeless at the time and living out of his car. Now FAM will go to court for a total of 13 charges, including six counts of attempted murder, four of failing to stop at a crosswalk, and two of failing to prevent an accident. Reporting live, Peter Johnston, KSL News Radio.
Two of the teens accused of shooting and killing a Taylorsville man are now being charged as adults. KSL News Radio's Adam Small is live with those details. Adam?
Tim, prosecutors have filed several felony charges against 17-year-olds Rohan Shahroon and Pedro Alexis Romero Bustos in connection with the shooting death of Alex Franco. There is also a third teen arrested in connection to the case, but they have not been charged as of yet. Charging documents say Franco was meeting up with the teens to buy a gun, but that they eventually decided to rob him instead. Witnesses say they argued before a gunshot went off, and then the vehicle sped away. Documents say that one of the teens eventually turned himself in and led police to Franco's body in remote Utah County. The charges against them include murder and aggravated robbery. Live, Adam Small, KSL News Radio.
Franco's grandmother, Shelley Kilpatrick, tells KSL-TV she feels it's right two of them are being charged as adults.
It saddens me because he's still a kid. Guns in kids' hands ain't no good.
Despite the death, Kilpatrick says she doesn't want to carry on any hate and hopes the accused teens get the help they need.
This week we've been talking Utah housing prices, which are among the highest in the country. So it might come as a surprise that one survey says that Utah is among the most affordable states in the country.
Certified financial planner Shane Stewart says the report from USA Today gives Utahns a median income of nearly $90,000 a year as opposed to the average income.
Most people in the real world will think, whoa, am I even in the hunt here? Whereas if you use the average salary of about close to $50,000 here in Utah, you get a little better perspective on what that looks like and probably a more fair number to use.
The report rates Utahns as spending the nation's lowest percentage of income for health care and number four in terms of homeowner costs as a percentage of income. Don Brinkerhoff, KSL News Radio.
KSL's top national stories now. Investigators trying to figure out why a cargo ship crashed into the Francis Scott Key Bridge yesterday. We'll consider everything. ABC News reports one item on the investigators' radar is the use of what they call dirty fuel that may have shut down the ship's generators.
They also have to recover the evidence from this crash and the debris from this crash in order to recreate the scene and recreate what happened.
Former Coast Guard Lieutenant Don Mihalik says all the videos of the ship with the lights going on and off will be helpful to the investigation.
We just talked with ABC's Derek Dennis, who is also on the scene of that bridge collapse this morning, and he tells us that the ship did have the equivalent of a black box.
We learned late yesterday from the NTSB that the ship has data recorders on board. And those recorders, once they're recovered, will be very telling in the investigation. A big question that's lingering out there, if the ship lost propulsion power, which it did, why didn't it drop anchor to stop it so that it didn't collide into the bridge? And if it did drop anchor, why didn't it work? That's a question that was posed to the NTSB. They hope to get on board the ship today to start that part of the investigation, recover those data box recorders, and provide some more answers.
The ship is still sitting under a collapsed section of the bridge. There's no timeline on when it might be moved.